Hi, I'm Dan Jones with CFWN in Cobourg, Ontario. A large electric vehicle and sustainability event is taking place this weekend in Cobourg, aimed to educate interested residents to the benefits of the EV movement. Several owners and dealers will have a variety of vehicles on display with test drives available. Organizer David Kuhnke says while electric vehicles are great for the environment, advancements in technology are starting to narrow the competitive gap with gas-powered vehicles. The EV event starts Sunday, 10 to 4 at Northumberland Mall.
So the main primary benefit is for the climate change, global warming, all of that stuff. And at that point, we can almost stop talking. But they are 10 times cheaper to operate with electricity than gas cars. And that's ignoring the recent changes because of the war in Iran. The maintenance is, in my mind, a big shrug of the shoulders, because the only maintenance, I've been driving an electric Mustang Mach-E from Fraser Ford down the street for over 5 years, 70,000 kilometers on it. The only maintenance, regular maintenance I have to do is twice a year I get the summer and winter tires switched around, which most people do. And Fraser Ford still charges me only because they're on rims. $49.70 twice a year for 5.5 years. And if that lengthy silence is uncomfortable because there isn't any other maintenance. Oh, I lie. I had to replace, we should replace the cabin air filter at 32,000 kilometers. And the last time I did that myself, the filter cost me $20.
Now, you talk about the benefits in terms of the environment, but when you make that argument, it takes away from, like, people start talking about the cost benefit. That's the bottom line for when people really start.
Yeah, the operating cost.
The operating cost, the long term.
Total cost of ownership.
The total cost. And that's where people's, when it hits their pocketbook, that's when they're going to start really noticing, right?
Yeah.
In terms of the technology advancements, when EVs first started, there were a lot of complaints about battery life. There were a lot of complaints about battery replacement.
Yeah.
Has that advanced to a point where it's no longer a mitigating factor of why you should or shouldn't be purchasing an EV?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for starters, all the OEMs, Ontario, or original equipment manufacturers that make cars, we call them OEMs. Will guarantee your battery for the standard 8 years, 160,000 kilometers, that within that period, it won't lose any more than 20% of its charge, to be charged to that much. So, and recent developments, as I say, that we've had presentations by a company out in Oakville, Geotab, that reported on the results of 27,000 electric vehicles over hundreds of thousands, millions of kilometers. We're looking at a 15 to 20 year lifetime for the batteries. And most people don't keep their cars for 15 to 20 years. And replace the batteries would be equivalent to replacing your engine and transmission. I mean, not cheap, but, you know, it'd be be better to do that. In fact, I'm almost looking forward to having to replace my battery, which will likely be after I'm dead and gone. But anyhow, because of the technologies that are coming along, there are now developments in batteries that will have a longevity of over 1 million kilometers. Nobody drives 1 million kilometers.
Some of the other concerns I've been hearing, and this mainly was probably done with Tesla early on, is charging stations.
Yep.
That's a consideration has to be made for where I can charge my car, how far, you know. So there's a little bit more planning on that. But have you seen an increase in the availability of charging stations?
Oh, for sure. Even around town, even in Cobourg here. I get notifications from two generic charging network apps, one called Charge Hub, I'm sorry, and the other is Plug Hub. Anyhow, they tell me when there's a new charging station installed, and they're going in every month.
Yeah.
still an issue, especially if you're going up north, I mean north of Sudbury, you know. But I mean, Norway has right now got like a 95% better or higher registration of zero emission vehicles in that country. And they have the same or worse climate than we have.
What's the hang up then on EVs and the market of why convincing the broader public that this is the way to go?
Yeah, a lot of misinformation, I would say, from various sources, politicians from different countries, and people who are reluctant to change. You know, every time we're having a show, as I say, in a month, week and a half, June the 15th in Northumberland Mall. And the guys are the big pickup trucks. When they see electric cars there, they floor it just to make additional noise. But the hang-up is, and you have the charging infrastructure still got a long ways to go. The what we call the DC fast chargers in the all 23 en routes in Ontario, except for one, oddly enough, and I'm not sure why. The one at Newcastle going westbound on the 401 still does not have charging stations, but everybody else does. Initially, they worked pretty well, but the reliability got bad. And so now they've been replaced with much better ones.
When you're looking back at it, 10 years ago, the technology wasn't where it is today. But in 10 more years, you probably say, okay, it's infinitely better. There's really going to be no reason why EVs can't equally compete with gas at that point.
Yeah. As I was saying a few minutes ago, Tuesday's webinar on Canada Talks electric cars that Tim Burrows produces for the EV Society every month, and they're all archived and stored on their website, evsociety.ca. We had somebody from Monroe, Paul Turnbull, from Monroe and Associates, who are specialized in taking cars apart. He was talking about the electric motors, which we just take for granted. They haven't changed the technology since Tesla, not Tesla as in Elon Musk, but Nikola Tesla invented the motor over 100 years ago. With the developments that are going on in the motors and in the batteries, he expects within 10 years, in about 10 years, that electric vehicles will be cheaper than any gas, the cheapest gas. And you'll be able to buy one for like $20,000. And the battery will last, the charge on it will give you well over 500 kilometers. Some of them, you know, over to 700. And the battery will last a lifetime.
Wow.
Million kilometers. When was the last time you drove a million kilometers?
I haven't. Most people who drive a million kilometers will most likely be professional truck drivers.
Yeah. So, and that's another story. Yeah. And that's coming along.
Well, that's also, I was going to touch on that, but is certainly coming.
But getting back to charging, 90% or more of EV owners, especially if they live in a single-family dwelling, what we call MURBs, multi-unit residential buildings, like condos and apartments, are another problem, particularly in this provincial environment, because Bill 98, but we don't want to get too political here. But anyhow, the people who drive them charge them at home.
Well, that makes sense.
And it's convenient. I plug mine in. I drive maybe 1,000 kilometers a month, a little bit more, depends. So I typically plug it in Friday nights. They recommend, because I have an older technology, six-year-old car, to keep it between 40 and 80%. So it's programmed to stop charging at 80%. And usually when it gets down to 40% or so, that's when I plug it in. So it starts charging with the overnight off-peak rates. In my case, it's not beneficial to use the ultra-low rates. For some people it is. For me, it's not. Depends on your electrical use patterns at home. But it's finished 2 or 3 o'clock Saturday morning. Okay. Well, I don't know about you. Unless I'm partying all night, I'm still asleep.
Yeah.
2 or 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. So it may take 5 or 6 hours. But when you're sleeping, who cares?
That's it.
And it's 10 times cheaper than gas in the other car we have, which is a Hyundai Tucson.
So let's talk about that. Obviously, the price of fuel has been going up, but before the war and you were driving around, what would you say the difference in price for gas for your one vehicle versus charging the EV?
10 times.
10 times the difference. So a $50 tank, just for a base number, it costs you $5. You would say it costs you $5 to charge your vehicle.
Yeah.
Now, we talked about the benefits. What are some of the drawbacks that you're noticing in this business?
Well, getting back to charging infrastructure away from home, you have to do some planning. You can't just assume, get out on the road, like with a gas car, that there'd be a gas station at the next corner or the next exit off a highway. We have a sort of a funny expression. In a gas car, when you're out traveling, looking for a gas station, you look up for the signs. Gas signs, especially on the 400 series, the interstate highways in the States. When you drive an EV, you look down on your apps on your phone or the apps that are right on the screen of your car, and they'll tell you where the next charging station is, whether they're available, how much they cost, how far away they are, what your battery will be at when you get there. So you look down. So it takes a little bit more planning. Then there are numerous apps that will help you with that. So if you have people say, well, I have to drive a cottage up north. Well, where's up north? Well, it's out, Huntsville. Well, I can get to Huntsville and back on one charge probably once or twice. Now, if you're going out to the Maritimes, the app will show you all the charging stations out to the Maritimes or anywhere else in the world. Going down to Florida, to the extent that people still drive to Florida, again, the apps will show you, you put in what kind of vehicle you have, and it'll know what kind of range you have. Then it'll list, here's all the locations. So typically to drive to Florida, say Orlando, Disney World, is a 24-hour drive. And it'll say, well, you'll need to add on 5 more hours of charging. So it's a 29, 5 more hours. And these are all the places that you'll have to charge. So unless you're going to drive without stopping, picking motels or hotels with charging stations, often for free. When's the last time you got gas for free?
Right?
No.
But that's my question. Is hotels have charging stations, or do you have to bring your own equipment?
No,
to...
they have them.
Okay.
In fact, Choice Hotels, some of the others, they're getting more and more virtually all, even around here. The Choice Hotel over off Densmore, off Division, Best Western here in Cobourg. Now, the owner is very progressive thinking. A wonderful guy. He's had a charging station there for over 10 years, and it's free for the guests. Because, for the $2 or $3 of electricity you're going to use, it's not worth it for him to try and get it back. He'll make far more money selling you supper and a glass of wine. Same at the Big Apple. When I got an adapter, that I can now charge at Tesla. I have two adapters, one for Tesla superchargers, which are the high-speed ones on the highway, and the other ones for destination chargers. A lot of hotels and resorts will put in destination chargers to provide power for guests. So when I got mine last year, I said, well, let me look on my phone, where's the nearest one? Well, the nearest one is in the Big Apple in Colburn. Well, it's only 15 minutes away. So I went zipping down the highway, plugged it in, put in the adapter, work like a charm, and they're free.
Yeah. That was going to be my follow-up question, is that then there's not specific models adapters. You can get kind of like a universal adapter to meet the make and model. Like, or do you have to be careful on where you go for your charging stations?
You have to be careful, but not that careful, in the sense that up in for the last maybe 5-10 years, there's been one standard for charging at home. It's called a J1772. That's a SAE, Society of Automotive Engineers designation. And then Tesla, because they could do what they wanted, came up with their own design. The industry has acknowledged that it's a better design. And so all the cars now, Ford, GMs, Stellantis, are all got the Hyundais and Kias, they all got what they call the NACS, N-A-C-S, North American Charging Standard. It's very ergonomic, take high power. For those who've got older cars, they can buy an adapter. There's a company in Quebec called A2Z that sells adapters and charging equipment at a very good price.
Now let's get to performance. Obviously, that's going to be a big thing in terms of speed. Does it drive like a regular gas vehicle? Does it Does it have the punch? Does, you know, that's when people are going to say, well, it's, it doesn't operate like my gas. I'm trying to get rid of the myths of what the differences are of those two.
5-10 years ago, people thought the electric vehicles drove like a golf cart.
And was that true? Was that accurate at the time?
No. Typically, I used to have, back in the day, a 68 Mustang GT fastback, 302 V8, souped it up with Elderbrock high-rise, big Holley carb. We estimated in headers that it put out about 300 horsepower. The Mach-E on the parking lot here, 345. So typically, when I take people out for a test drive, I go up here in Coburg, up on Division, go westbound on the 401, slow down to 30 around the corner, one, because that's what the sign says so, and secondly, to annoy the people behind me. And if the traffic is clear when you floor it, by the time you move into the driving lane off the on the on-ramp, we're doing 130. It'll do 0 to 100 in less than 5 seconds.
Wow.
That's a lot faster than my 68 Mustang souped up.
Yeah. All right, well, let's turn to the event coming up June 14th at Northumberland Mall. What can people expect there?
Well, and we're hoping maybe 500 people there. We've got half a dozen sustainable organizations, Blue Dot Northumberland, Northumberland County, SCAN, which is Seniors for Climate Action Now, a few others. We'll have Plug and Drive will be there with 3 or 4 vehicles that people can test drive for free. We'll have several dealers, primarily the Kia and the Hyundai and the Volkswagen. But again, you can test drive their vehicles or sign up for test drives. We'll probably have 15 to 20 owners with their vehicles that will be happy to answer similar questions. It'll be mainly an educational event for people to see what they're like, talk to people who've owned them that are not trying to sell them.
Wonderful.
Yes, they've been, you know, higher priced for the last 5-10 years, especially when after COVID when we had the chip shortage. But now there's lots of used EVs available. Now that we know the batteries will last 15 to 20 years and not the 5 to 10 like we thought initially, and you can do tests on the batteries themselves, and right down to the cell or modular, they're put in little packs that are bundled together so that you don't have to replace the whole battery. You find out the part that's just like lights that are burnt out in a Christmas string. When you can find the one that's burnt out, that's the one you replace. Yeah. Same with the batteries.
Reporting for CFWN and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Dan Jones.